Wintrust Business Lunch. Terry Savage is the money lady, the author of Social Security Horror Stories, Protect Yourself from the System and Avoid Clawbacks. That's a very long subtitle to a book, you know. Usually you want something that goes pow.
Well, you see the one I'm working on for next. I mean, I'm trying to force myself to do this.
Another book or another article?
No, I'm thinking I have so much to say about Medicare. Yeah. It might just turn into
a book as well.
Yeah, I'm kind of working on it now.
Well, you sure tackled Social Security well. Medicare is of great concern to people, too. So I think...
My title is... No, I can't say it now.
You can't say it?
I got the website, yeah.
It's unlike you to hold back, Terry.
I know, but I have to register the title first.
Yeah,
but
exactly,
it's as catchy as Social Security Horror Story.
You know, I think an interesting question, though, about Medicare and long-term care insurance these days is this. Does there come a dollar amount where you are self-insured and you don't need long-term care insurance?
Oh, boy. You know what? I have someone to bring out.
I asked Brian Gordon about that the other day.
Okay. Well, Brian actually introduced me.
He is a long-term insurance provider or broker, and his business is Gordon Associates.
Right. 800-533-6242. That's how well I know it. Brian helped me buy my own policies, too, and my parents' policies before that.
If you had $100 million.
And now he's working with my son.
If you had $100 million, you wouldn't need it.
Anybody out there, text right away if you've got $100 million.
So where's the line, I asked him?
So did he tell you about Lily? I'm about to tape a podcast with her. I wrote a column, if you're interested in this question, about what are the odds, first of all, that you'll need it. Second of all, that you'll have enough money to take care of yourself. You will probably think you have enough money to take care of yourself, even though you recognize that the cost of long-term care is going up. And if there are no more immigrants, by the way, willing to do the tough work like that, it'll be even more expensive. But Genworth says that the 2025 cost of care survey says the national median national, that's not in Chicago, cost for in-home health aid is $82,500 and some dollars a year. Assisted living, about $71,000, but double that if you're in Chicago or New York.
Really?
Now, it's not so much about whether you think, there's two things you have to ask yourself. You go, well, that's okay. The on average, people only need care for 3 years unless they have dementia or something like that. Think Bruce Willis nowadays. You know, that's terrible. I think I used to use Annette Funicello because she was our baby boomer. She had
MS. I don't remember that, yeah.
And she was incapacitated for years. So, or a stroke where you could live on longer but need care. So, but 3 years is the average, and then you can multiply by, inflation even at 5%, I have enough. And then the question is, what about your spouse? What will likely she, because, okay, I'm going to give you the 3 points in answer to that. What about your spouse? Men live less long than their spouses, so it's your spouse. What are you going to leave your spouse to live on? And B, when you see it going out the door at, $10,000 a month, are you going to go, I wish I had insurance because I would have left that to my children or my grandchildren for college? And you don't want to be, especially now. There was a whole industry 20 years ago, make yourself eligible for Medicare by spending down and transferring assets, Medicaid, I mean.
Yeah.
Look what they're doing to Medicaid. You don't want to be in a Medicaid-funded nursing home. So, and particularly the fourth thing, I'll make 4 points. Okay, the first was your spouse. The second is, what kind of an inheritance did you really want to leave for your children? The third one is, no, you don't want to spend down everything and qualify for Medicaid. And the fourth one, at which Brian, and believe me, this makes me feel very good.
Brian
is
Gordon.
An ex-Brian Gordon of Gordon
Associates.
When it comes time to use it, now, my dad, gosh, that must be 10, 12 years ago. You know, you want your advocate, the person you bought the policy from, to be around to call XYZ insurance company and say, yep, unable to do the 5 daily activities. We've got the doctor certification. Start those payments now. Because they yin and they yang in the insurance industry. And if you're a woman alone, particularly, you want to know that you have an advocate, because most of the policies they sell now come with kind of a helpful kind of concierge to help you get into the right place and so forth. But only if you buy through a reputable agent, And they charge, by the way, a small fee. If you want to, if you bought your long-term care insurance policy 12 years ago from someone else you don't even remember the name, if you want Brian to now take over the quote administration, which is
which is
nothing but okay, you got your premium this year, and next year it went up dramatically. He will, number one, tell you, here's how you should limit it. Maybe you don't want lifetime, you only want 5 years. Maybe you want to cut off the inflation adjustment now or whatever. So if you want his ongoing advice and the help down the road in contacting the insurance company and using their concierge service to get you in a good place and making sure the bills are paid and so forth, that's the kind of thing you want to be dealing with someone who really knows the business is going to be around. Now, do you want long-term care insurance? You're in your 50s. The thing you want to do today is buy a 10-pay policy. Steep premiums, but you're not exposed to them as the premiums go up. So personally, I did that years ago, and I bought a 10-pay policy. It was, I could not believe.
10 years or 10 months?
Oh, I did that. I finished paying 10 years ago, okay? I must have done that 20 years ago. And I'm so glad today because the other policy, which was a lifetime policy, tripled or quadrupled. So
you mean the premiums?
The premiums.
Yeah.
So and when we bought those policies 20, 25 years ago, I was telling people, buy it now. You're in your 50s. You're young. The premiums will be lower. They can't raise the premiums just for you because you have ill health. They can only raise them for the entire class of people in the state that bought them. But then the state did allow them. The insurance company said, well, we didn't know the cost of care would go up that much. We didn't know so many people would be comfortable moving into these new assisted living facilities. We got it wrong. So we're raising the premiums or we're going out of business. So you need someone to talk to say, well, you know, here's how we will adjust it so you can afford the premiums. And you need someone there to help you manage the policy down the road. But a 10-pay premium at least locks in your coverage. So that's what I'm recommending to those in their 50s now.
So some questions for Terry that we mentioned before the break. Somebody said, can I roll over mature U.S. savings bonds that have not been cashed out yet into T-bills?
No, you have to cash those bonds. And it's harder and harder to do that these days. Most banks do not cash U.S. savings bonds. You can go to treasurydirect.gov and in the search box put cashing in a savings bond. I assume they're paper. Because we didn't even really have Treasury Direct for maturing savings bonds. But if they mature and you cash them in online, they'll drop back into your bank account. But most people still have paper. You have to cash them in. It's a procedure. Go to treasurydirect.gov in the search box, but put cashing in a paper bond. Then you have to pay the taxes on that. It's all the interest that accumulated over the years, unless you've taken some very esoteric thing, which most people don't. You'll pay taxes that year. You'll get a 1099. Then you put it back in your bank account and you buy a T-bill.
We've got an envelope somewhere. My father-in-law used to give double E-bills for my kids, and we haven't cashed them in. I don't know where
they
are.
Cashed them in because they're old and they've stopped paying interest.
Right, so I'm actually losing ground to inflation now,
of course
now, right?
You are, yes.
Yeah, they don't appreciate. And how?
I forget how many years it's the double E bonds were extended, I believe it's 30 years now.
A 30-year bond.
After 30 years, they stop paying interest. But while you're at treasurydirect.gov,
can I type in
click in the bond wizard. You just have to find the year that it was given to, you know, that's on the bond, and it'll tell you. First of all, it'll tell you what the current market value is. I mean, if you cash it in, and it will tell you if it has stopped paying interest.
So what did he pay on that? And then I'm going to pay interest on the appreciation?
Well, the old EE bonds were, you know, you bought a $100 bond for $50 or $40-something dollars. It depended on the interest rate. I bonds pay interest every 6 months. So if you're talking about the old E bonds, they were bought at a discount, intended to mature to face value. And at that time, I believe it was 20 years. Then they extended the maturities and kept paying. So if the bond has a face value of $100, it could be worth significantly more. Go to treasurydirect.gov and search and put in the search box value of my old EE bond. And there's a just you can put your list of bonds in there at Savings Bond Wizard, and it will tell you the current market value and if it's still paying.
And then
I want to add one more thing.
Okay.
If you have an older EE bond that is still paying, for the most part, they had a very high floor base rate. So you don't want to cash it in necessarily. In fact, in general, I would say don't cash it in if it is still paying interest. It may be a real treasure.
You mean it might be worth more
your
than the base
rate, on? Your base interest, guaranteed interest rate might be
better
higher than
I'm
you think.
Now.
Exactly. It could be in the 6, 7, 8%.
Wow.
Terry, I think those are mostly matured, but maybe not.
Terry, we were talking just a minute ago about the person who said, I'll be 65, not yet, but I will be soon, and I'm getting calls from people wanting to help me choose my Medicare plan. Is there a reliable source or place to find out what my options are?
Okay, this is going to sound like an endorsement, so let me just back up for a second. So number one, this is why I'm definitely got to write this book this summer. It's half written anyway. First of all, you get a choice, traditional Medicare with a supplement and a Part D drug plan or Advantage. Those, they aren't calling you yet, but the minute you get close to 65, late at night, your phone will ring, your cell phone, you'll get texts. Let us help you. We're going to even drive you to your doctor's appointments. You'll get dental, you'll get hearing, you'll get this, you'll get that, all for the one low price that is even lower than, okay. Beware of that. That's managed care. And lately, you're seeing what I've been talking about for years. They tell you who you can see, when you can see, and what tests you can get. That's Advantage, and half the people have fallen for that pitch. If you can afford Medicare plus a supplement and a drug plan, then that's the way to go. Now, basically, you could go online to Medicare.gov and say, take a look. If you were 64, just about to be 65, you want the most comprehensive supplement. It's worth it if you can afford it. That's Plan G for great. There are 6 or 8 or 10 providers of Plan G. You can check their star ratings, but they all must cover the same thing. So you could do it yourself. Just at Medicare.gov, you can click, compare, and even sign up online. Or you can get some help. If you're a regular WGN listener, you know that one of our favorite people here is Tom Dillon of JT Medicare Advisors, who will help you through that. Why is it worthwhile? There are a lot of little things that you might not know. And in fact, when he reviewed my plan a year ago after I met him and fell in love with him, he saved me from a potential crisis down the road. So that would be why you would go to an advisor. But every insurance salesperson gets, number one, a commission for selling a Medicare supplement and probably twice the commission for selling an Advantage plan.
Oh, yeah, right.
So,
which you don't like.
Which I hope you don't have to do that. So that's why you might want to get to someone who is kind of an independent advisor and will look at you and say, well, they're stronger in this, stronger in that. They all, though, all Part D plans, G plans, I'm sorry, cover the same thing. Big change coming this year for Part D drugs, which we must all review every year because drugs change and prices change. Now there are going to be no more commissions for advice. So I'll do that story. That's going to be part of my book, too.
Well, then what about this one? This one says, that's JT Medicare Solutions. The insurance companies pay him. You don't. It says, you keep talking about long-term care insurance. I have long and short-term disability. Is that the same thing?
No, it's not. Disability pays you and makes up the difference if you cannot work. And depending on the terms of, I had disability.
It's relative to your salary, then.
Yeah, it's relative to your salary. You have to qualify. You know, I'm going to joke now. I used to say, for me, when I was on TV every day, a disability would be a pimple. You know, but disability is that you cannot do your own job. Not so much that you, it depends on the terms of your policy. If you were, a ditch digger, could you sit in the office and schedule ditch diggers? So the individual disability policies or policies that are covered by your union,
yeah,
you need to know what the terms of those are. But long-term care is the
different
inability,
yeah,
to do some of the basic activities of daily living, showering, toileting, feeding yourself, dressing yourself, for example. Doctor certifies that, and then that policy kicks in. It would be kicking in if you needed to go into the real, major league nursing home. It would kick in most cases, if you needed assisted living. And most of these modern policies have care at home, but
right,
it not probably enough for round-the-clock care. So you need someone to guide you through that process.
262 said, question for Terry. We are 45 years old, and we make $180,000 a year. Our HELOC is $150,000, and the mortgage left is $60,000. should we plow more money into the stock market or pay off the HELOC, pay off the house first? We've got two kids in college.
Well, you're about to get a huge windfall. That is, your kids will be out of college in the next 4, 5, 6 years.
Get out of college jail. That's a beautiful thing.
Yes, and then you have extra money. So what you didn't tell me was what's the rate on your mortgage and what's the rate on your HELOC. The mortgage, if it's under 5%, I would not pay down. But and what are the terms of your home equity line of credit? Have you drawn it down? Are your current payments interest only? Is there about to be a balloon bubble in 5 years or 7 years where you will either have to refinance that, give up your low rate basic first mortgage in order to do that? And I forgot how old they said they are, but
45.
Okay, well, you'll still be working then, so you'll qualify for a new mortgage. A lot depends on the terms of that loan. So yes, you should be trying to pay down that home equity line of credit. You should still, the answer is both, of course.
But you said something interesting. You said that if your mortgage is under 5%,
oh, yeah,
then better to put money in the market than in pay down the mortgage.
Well, no, better get the tax deduction and tax deferred growth in a 401k plan. I didn't assume they were going to suddenly start speculating in Microsoft or something like that.
I think that's what I meant too.
So keep your original mortgage, especially if it's a low rate mortgage. It sounds like there's a relatively low balance. It must be from back there when rates were lower. Keep contributing to your 401k plan, surely enough to get the match, and you're in your 40s, so you got to believe in America. Never been a 20-year losing period for the S&P 500 with dividends reinvested. So you have to believe that by the time you're approaching retirement, you will have made money. And the HELOC is a burden. So yes, when the kids stop pulling on your wallet, that's a time to really pay that down and take a look at the terms of that, whether you're going to be facing a bubble, because that would be devastating.
What do you think about this, Terry? 847 said, I'm living with my partner for 12 years now. We're both retired, and all of the bills are split 50-50 all this time. I feel my percentage should be less since his investments and returns are way higher than mine. What do you think?
Well, I think you have to discuss that over a glass of wine.
I think you've got to split everything 50-50.
Oh, no, I wrote a whole book with Gemma Allen and Michelle Lawrence, divorce court attorney and divorce court judge.
I don't want
Remember
to go
that
there.
Book, The New Love Deal, Everything You Must Know Before Marrying, Moving In, or Moving On? That was a great subtitle I came up with. Okay, look, you've been there 12 years. It depends. What are you're both retired.
His bank account is getting higher than yours. His investments are doing better than yours.
But are you?
You're still sharing the house. You're still sharing the payments. You're still sharing dinner and groceries. You split it 50-50.
Well, you knew this. Wait. You set up a deal going into this. Now, if your 401k
has... And what are you suffering? Hold on. What are you suffering?
Let me finish.
No, I want to say this. And how are you suffering if his investments are doing better than yours? You're still splitting costs because presumably...
Are you the beneficiary of his 401k
IRA? I'd like to know the answer to that.
Yes. Okay. So what I'm saying is there's a lot to this discussion. But the minute you feel it's unfair in any way, even though you're both using the same amount of electricity, so forth...
There you go.
Then you need to have a discussion because that's the kind of thing that festers. And you know what? You may come to the agreement that he should pay more of the bills, or that he will take over or make an extra mortgage payment every year that you don't split or something like that. But, you're not wrong to look out for yourself. But just because his 401k balance, his IRA rollover is $2.1 million and yours is $457,000, that's not what matters as long as... A, you're a co-owner of the house, and if he dies first,
that's
you get it. Or B, maybe the fair answer is a life insurance policy on him, which you own, not that he buys,
Ooh.
But he pays for, but you own it and you are the beneficiary so that you can guard against the fact that with a strike of a pen, when he gets mad one day at age 86, he could change his beneficiary. Well, but if you own the life insurance policy,
you can buy the policy. He doesn't even have to pay for the policy, does he? He
has to give you the money to pay for the policy.
No,
that's
if I have a life insurance policy and I, on your, can't I?
If I own it, nobody can change the beneficiary. So you, sweetie, will own the policy. And if the premium is $1,900 a year, he will give you that $1,900 a year so you could pay the premium, and that way you have an insurable interest in his longevity.
Sure, sure, sure. But businesses do that on executives all the time.
Well, yes, that's
what
I'm telling
you. I could take out a policy on you.
No, you don't have an insurable interest in me.
Really? So I can't do that?
Well, unless I contribute so much to your ratings that you really need me around.
Okay, that's an interesting concept, though. But I mean, so I can't do that. I can't take one out on my spouse.
No, you can't just go running around and, you know.
Insuring things, and then what do you know, they died, now I get all the money.
Yeah, no.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch. You have questions, too, I can see on the text line and on the phone line. 312-981-7200 for Terry Savage. We'll ask her after the break also, what would you do with $1,000 for a newborn today? But first, more business news. Here's Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. 400 layoffs are being planned at Career Builder as the company prepares to close its U.S. headquarters in Chicago. According to Cranes, Career Builder has filed a notice with the state of Illinois about the layoffs beginning in August. A spokesperson has told the Sun-Times that the company is also exploring a sale but will continue normal operations during the process. The development comes after the CEO recently informed workers that Career Builder's headquarters at 200 North LaSalle would be closing. United Airlines has partnered with Spotify to give flyers new in-flight entertainment. The partnership gives passengers free access to more than 450 hours of playlists, audiobooks, and podcasts. The content will be available on United flights by 2026. United says it's also working to allow passengers to sign into their own Spotify accounts. Illinois is teaming up with two Chicago hospitals to serve as elite special pathogen treatment centers. Under two agreements with the Illinois Department of Public Health, Rush University Medical Center and Lurie Children's Hospital will upgrade their capacity to treat people suffering from high-consequence pathogens. That refers to highly infectious diseases that pose a threat to public safety, including the Ebola virus and pneumonic plague. The agreements come in response to the federal government pulling out of the World Health Organization and cutting funding for the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Here's the business of food and Steve Alexander.
Yeah, thank you. And the late Billy Stewart is getting us started today. While I thank the Chevy Silverado for sponsoring us, there has never been a better time to put a Silverado in your toolbox. Find out how at ChevyDrivesChicago.com. And the backyard grilling is easy.
Yeah, almost anything you cook indoors, you can cook outdoors, only better.
He is a Hall of Famer, one of those one-name celebrities like Cher.
I'm a meathead from AmazingRibs.com.
Chicago's very own.
One of only about 40 living barbecue Hall of Famers, and I got a new book out called The Meathead Method.
I'm guessing your parents did not give you that name.
Actually, you did, but not at birth. It goes back to the Archie Bunker days. Dad and I used to watch All in the Family.
Let me tell you something, Mr. Bunker.
No, let me tell you something, Mr. Stivic. You are a meathead.
Dad and I were on opposite sides of the political fence. He was no Archie Bunker. He wasn't a bigot. But I was a, you know, young liberal college kid. And when I got into cooking seriously, it just kind of stuck.
And Meathead has a new cookbook that came out last month. And why did the world need another cookbook?
That's a fair question. I write differently than most other barbecue cooks. I'm a science geek. People who are cooking nowadays want to know more than do step one, do step two, just shut up and do it. Why do I do step one? What happens if I skip step two? I've really tried to teach people the concepts.
Well, our time is running out, Meathead, but how about one quick tip?
If you've still got one of those old dial thermometers in your junk drawer in the kitchen, take it out. Back over it with your car. It's a worthless piece of junk. You need to go out and spend $30 on a good, modern, instant-read digital thermometer probe.
Okay, will do. The name of the book is The Meathead Method by Meathead Goldwyn. And by the way, beautiful photos.
Oh, can I tell you?
Yeah.
I did all the photography. All those pictures are mine. I'm very proud of that.
Nicely done. On the food calendar, it's National Corn on the Cob Day. Well, that's great on the grill. And it's National German Chocolate Cake Day. I'm Steve Alexander. That's the business of food on 720 WGN.
Terry Savage is here, the money lady from terrysavage.com. If I gave a newborn $1,000, what should the parents do with that money?
Are you talking about this idea that was just floated, the Trump plan?
Yep. Yeah. Well, they just say you would put it in an American-based stock index fund.
Where's the money coming from, John?
I don't know. Federal government, somehow.
Okay, watch this. They're going to give every newborn $1,000. And
right.
to go with it, let me pull this up. Truthinaccounting.org. Sheila Weinberg, we've had her on the show. Truthinaccounting.org.
She's tough. She beat up Illinois.
Yeah, it still is. I had lunch with her last week. And she has an online calculator of the U.S. national debt, which is now $36 trillion. That's before the next budget. And at the bottom, it says each taxpayer's share, $912,000. So fine, give the newborn $1,000 along with that $912,000 debt bill with interest growing it because, of course, we pay interest on the national debt. If you have a newborn in your family, go open a 529 college savings account and invest it in the S&P 500 fund. Now, I recognize that poorer people who are worried about just feeding this newborn and buying clothes and keeping a roof over their head don't have the extra $1,000. That's very nice, but I don't think it's a government's, my personal opinion, to give away money we don't have when they're trying to, I don't want to walk into that quagmire. It's a great idea to set aside money at a young age to grow in the stock market because that is the future of America. And you have to invest in the S&P 500. You don't have to be a genius because 40 years ago, 20 years ago, the Dow was under seven. Let me think about this. During the pandemic, the low in the Dow was around 17,000. We're at 42,000. So there's never been a 20-year losing period. So great, open a 529 account. But I'm not sure that's what we want the government doing, but they're doing a lot of things we don't want them doing.
Got less than a minute left.
No.
Christine, you've been holding for a while. What was your question, Christine?
Oh, hi. My husband has a $25 savings bond that he received when he was 13 for his bar mitzvah. He is now 84.
Okay. Well,
is it worth $25 or is it worth more?
No, it's worth more, but not a whole lot more because they stopped paying interest at some point. Go to treasurydirect.gov and in the search box, put savings bond calculator. And on that calculator, you can enter, you have a paper bond, the date on the bond and the bond serial number, actually. But you just the date on the bond, and it will tell you what the current market value is. It's a big, giant hassle to cash that in. You have to have a guaranteed signature, or you can send it in. Once you get to treasurydirect.gov, just search out cashing in paper bonds, and you'll see what a hassle it is. So my guess is if it had a $25 face value, it might be worth maybe $50, depending on what the interest rates were.
She's had it for 71 years.
No, but it didn't pay interest all those 71 years.
I know.
So, or whatever it is. So it may not be worth, it may be worth more framing it and giving it to a grandchild. But do check out what the value is. It did not earn interest for 71 years, though.
We're out of time. That's Terry Savage. Lots of questions still coming in. Do call in early next Wednesday, then you're further up in the queue, and we'll take as many of your texts and calls as we can next time.
Or go to Ask Terry, my blog at terrysavage.com. I spend the rest of the week answering those unanswered questions.
She really does. terrysavage.com.